Professor, can you put some comments together regarding the economic and the regulatory aspect of these products?
So I thought I would comment largely on some issues involving regulations and also potential changes in the market structure for trading CDS. So at the onset, I should emphasize why is there potentially a large role for regulation in the space? I think a lot of this has sort of been brought out by aspects of the financial crisis in recent months, although not so much specifically the issues involving CDS. In particular, there are certainly potential market failures in the financial market due to a variety of externalities. And I think we sort of see this in aspects of the operation of the financial market, or at least this is the rationale that underlies sort of much of the federal interventions in a variety of different spaces over the last year or so. It's clear that the financial sector is central to the functioning of our economy. There's externalities, of course, associated with the nature of credit. And the consequences of a credit crunch, or in the way it's put in current parlance, the seizing up of the credit markets, externalities in terms of the potential non-operation of the payment system. Now, we haven't seen that to date. But you know, imagine we have a situation where payments being made by one receives a check, and as it's put into the banking system. The institutions are the ability to collect that check is rather uncertain. There are a variety of sources of systemic risk which can lead to contagion. Indeed, a lack of transparency and informational asymmetry seems to be potentially important in aspects of the way our system seems to be evolving. And we see this with respect to the lack of clarity about even the fundamental nature of exposures. We saw this when Bear Stearns went down. We saw this when Lehman Brothers went down with AIG, the extent of exposures, the nature of counterparty risks. And I would argue that the concern is much more so even about the down, you know, if you think about a credit default swap, that's obviously insuring debt. And so that's much more of an issue about the downs. In the case of credit default swaps, it's an issue about the downside. The lack of knowledge potentially is a key issue. Now there are a variety of sources of systemic risk. I'll just note that this can in part be because of exogenous shocks, although we sometimes think of that as more just sort of aggregate kinds of risks, our traditional macroeconomic kinds of risks. But increasingly there's focus on investor panics or hurting kinds of effects, and the interconnectedness of our financial system. And I think we've heard a lot about interconnectedness, and indeed differences in perceived interconnectedness is what the Treasury has used to justify interventions in some cases and the lack of interventions in other cases. I thought I would highlight briefly a few of the key characteristics that I see in CDS, which I think are really central to understanding the economics. So the first point I want to emphasize is that CDS simply involves a reallocation of risk. I think a lot of commentators, a lot of politicians, even a lot of regulators seem to be somewhat confused about this. A CDS contract is a contract that is a side contract. It is a contract that is in zero net supply. It does not, somebody decides to buy some CDS, this does not add to the aggregate risk in the economy, because for the buyer, there's a seller. It's just like, in that sense, it's just like a traded option. It involves a reallocation of risk. It is not a driver, at least, of risk in totality. Now, of course, the comment is made that this can involve speculation as well as hedging. Well, the ability of some investors to hedge to some degree requires that somebody on the other side, in some cases at least, is speculating. This is just sort of part of how our markets work. I think it's important when we think about CDS to recognize that there's a separation between, in effect, funding and risk bearing. That seems to me central. And the sense in which CDS provides a valuable function to the marketplace is it provides a way to transfer the risk bearing, but separates out the funding. And I think that's important to the success of this. There's obviously lots of information in the prices of CDS. This was noted earlier today is actually providing a way, in the first session, as leading actually indirectly to more transparency, because it makes the cost of the credit and the potential risks of default much clearer and cleaner. Now, at the same time, the CDS pricing itself can depend upon the extent of the transparency. There are ways in which the plumbing of our system has been awkward. If you think about a bankruptcy situation, for example, and then exactly who one's counterparty is obviously kind of matters in a very central way. And to the extent that some of the issues involving the exposures of who you enter into are opaque, that obviously effectively raises the nature of the risks and raises the cost of the CDS pricing. So I think system plumbing matters, and I'm pleased that there now are serious efforts underway to try to improve the plumbing. In fact, I must say I've been surprised earlier this year that in the aftermath of Bear Stearns, which really I think exposed a lot of the problems with system plumbing, that it really took till this fall for there to be indications of serious efforts. Let me sort of jump ahead to some of the types of proposals that are out there in the policy space, and they kind of range all over the place. They, you know, at the extreme, although I don't think these are taken very seriously, there's even notions of sort of banning CDS outright. Now, I think CDS is obviously important to our markets. This is very much like high yield financing. It's different than high yield financing, of course, but you know, some critics of high yield financing sort of think, well, inherently that's bad too. But obviously, it's important to the vitality of our markets. There are calls for the sellers to be licensed as insurance providers. I think certainly if one moves forward with that, it's important to be clear about what would be the goals of that. And more generally, if one regulates CDS, and some of the regulators in DC have called for regulation, it's important that there be specific types of goals that one is trying to accomplish. Now, there are currently a variety of proposals for a clearinghouse and for a central exchange. I think these are very important, and I would expect to see sort of serious progress in this potentially even as soon as this month. There's a lot of speculation that there'll be stuff kind of moving forward on this. Now, without getting into the details of specific proposals, what are some of the reasons I think for focus on this? Well, basically, by having a clearinghouse, that really facilitates the netting process, and potentially makes the specific counterparty, makes it potentially irrelevant the nature of the specific counterparty. That doesn't mean that the problem of the systemic problems necessarily completely go away. Some commentators kind of sometimes talk about it as if it kind of makes all the problems associated with the counterparty risk go away, but I think that's a little bit too simplistic. After all, you know, what's to say that the clearinghouse, in fact, is going to be able to do what it needs to do? You create kind of a much bigger entity, and for the most part, the bigger entity is going to work. But frankly, you know, if you have huge problems with the operation of these instruments, and in effect, if the collateralization is not sufficient, the larger entity could potentially collapse as well. But I do think, nevertheless, having a clearinghouse is potentially an important move. Now, the dealer community, as I understand it, typically is sort of now, because of the pressures and the nature of the environment, I think is sort of reluctantly acceding to the potential for a clearinghouse. But I think it's also worth taking seriously the possibility of having a central exchange, at least for some of the more standardized kind of instruments, which in fact have a significant volume of the trading. Now, what would be some of the advantages of a centralized exchange that a clearinghouse wouldn't provide? Well, potentially, among other things, it would provide much more transparency about pricing. Now, traditionally, dealers are reluctant to have too much transparency about pricing because the dealers make their rents by the special information that they have with respect to pricing. But I think the success of the futures markets in the current climate and I think the values of transparency and the real severe cost that our economy, I think, has incurred because of some lack of transparency make it worth taking that issue seriously. One other point that I should raise
before you get to that, in your opinion, do you think that both can actually coexist, or do you think that you only need to have one or the other?
I don't think we necessarily need to have one or the other. And in fact, you know, it's possible that market forces may drive one or the other out. That's often how it works. I think one interesting idea which academic economists are talking a little bit about is, because they've used systemic risk as basically an externality, and the way we traditionally deal with an externality like pollution is we tax it so that we get kind of a lower level and a more efficient level. So people are now talking more seriously about trying to tax the way in which systemic risk is created, whether it's taxing the big firms or taxing certain kind of instruments or taxing differentially instruments that are more likely to create systemic risk as opposed to others. And so you could imagine, for example, differential fees based upon type of contract, perhaps higher fees for contracts that are more naturally going to create systemic risk. Now, obviously, there's sort of, you know, some awkwardness in figuring out how to measure exactly what these effects are, but this could be a way to try to move the system along. So I do see, whether it be a clearinghouse or an exchange, potential benefits in terms of perhaps greater liquidity, potential reductions in counterparty risk. I do think broadly there is a need for serious transparency. I think this has been central to some of the collapse of confidence, but frankly, a lot of the issues obviously that we're facing in the marketplace are not simply a collapse of confidence, but clearly solvency issues are first order. And while I must say I myself didn't appreciate that, maybe in part because of some of the statements being made by the federal regulators in the spring, I didn't appreciate that in the spring, but I think after we saw the events of in September, I think it's now pretty obvious that there were real solvency issues. So just to conclude, I certainly think that CDS serves a very important and useful function because it provides a way to separate risk bearing from funding, and it provides clear price signals about the nature of the costs of the risk bearing. I do think overregulation can be detrimental, but at the same time, there is an important need for improvements in transparency because a lot of our problems have been, if you think about issues involving the freezing up of our system, a lot of these problems have to do with not knowing what is the financial state of your counterparty, and I think shining a light on that would be tremendously valuable. Finally, one other observation that I'd like to note, I do think that policymakers broadly need to think carefully and seriously about recognizing the real costs that are imposed on our marketplace from policy uncertainty. And we've seen a number of examples of this, particularly, I would say, at the Treasury over the last 6 months. Now, they face a lot of very difficult challenges. Let me be clear about that. But I think, you know, if you look back in the situation involving Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the summer, where the Treasury was unwilling to stay at what level in the capital structure they were going to intervene, and then, of course, private investors were not willing to invest because they were concerned that their investments were going to get expropriated. Or you see it, you know, you see it a few weeks ago with the press conference announcing that the TARP, that the original conception of the TARP wasn't going to go forward. And of course, the financial services firms looked like what they had been doing was they were buying up the toxic mortgages so that they could sell it to the Treasury at higher prices. And then all of a sudden, the prices of those firms kind of collapsed. You certainly can see a link then between the nature of CDS prices. I'm talking now about the price levels on the CDS, let's say for financial services firms, and the nature of policy uncertainty. So I think there's sort of interesting connections too, even between price levels and the nature of policy broadly.
Thank you, Professor. Steve, I have a question for you just following on from what the professor's been talking about, just a point that I wanted to pick up there. Given that hopefully going forward we should have a better understanding of what these products are and the value hopefully associated with that, is that going to have an effect on the accounting method of some of these products?
Well, I think I don't know if it changes really the accounting method because in our current environment
I guess if we're in a marketplace where liquidity risk is very, very tiny, which is not where we're at right now, where liquidity risk is huge, the current accounting standard requires liquidity and credit to be accounted for together, because there's only really three components. There's interest rate risk, foreign currency risk, and then and credit risk. And unfortunately, liquidity gets then lumped into credit, or really credit is everything else. It's not foreign exchange or interest rates. So I think it's going to remain difficult in our current environment to achieve hedge accounting, or be able to show that the movement in the fair value of a credit default swap can be highly correlated to the movement of the asset you're attempting to protect with it.
Well, and then following on from that, certainly in order to try and build some confidence back into the market, one of the ways is, I come from an insurance or reinsurance background, I've always said that if somebody is willing to actually provide insurance or reinsurance for a product, then hopefully somebody's then going to be prepared to actually put the product back out there. So Bill, can I have some comments from you on whether you think that there is a market here for the CDS going forward to be insured?